The city's petition lays out the arguments why the state should approve the creation of a new government for a Petersburg borough encompassing 3,400 square miles of land. That would include Mitkoff and Wolodsky Islands, along with half of Kuprinoff Island, and a large portion of the mainland from Leconte Bay up to Tracy Arm. The city also will be submitting a new charter document outlining how the new Home Rule Borough will operate. The city has hired attorney Jim Brennan to review the two documents and help Petersburg through the state process. On Monday, Brennan told city council members that Petersburg's timing for submitting the borough petition to the state is excellent.
There's no other petitions on file with the local boundary commission right now, which is a pretty unusual circumstance because, and it's good because they are taking quite a bit of time in processing these lately, so it's good to be first in line, which I think we would be. We also have a favorable local boundary commission panel right now. Most of you probably know that I just was involved with Wrangell's effort, and they have some very sensible, reasonable people there who are capable of separating the wheat from the chaff and making a decision.
Brennan said the local boundary commission's approval of Wrangell's petition in December bodes well for Petersburg's effort. City councilors last March approved one version of the charter for a new Petersburg borough, but Brennan recommended some changes Monday. One change was the elimination of a phased-in property tax, with a tax plan for the second year of a borough on Mitkoff Island, and then the remainder of the borough to be taxed in the third year.
If we arbitrarily decide, well, we'll tax just Mitkoff, the rest of Mitkoff first, and then not tax the rest of the borough, you start running into some sticky questions because ultimately it's an arbitrary decision. Why did you choose this area and to tax first and not that, et cetera? And I've tried to approach this from the standpoint of what's the least uncertain approach here that's not liable to create litigation for the borough coming out of the block.
As it's proposed, the borough would impose a 4-mil property tax on land outside of existing city limits. That tax would take effect in the second or third year after formation of the new borough. That's to allow enough time for an assessor to travel around, identify properties, and come up with assessed values. Inside existing city limits, residents would pay a property tax similar to the existing city tax level. That's to pay for city services and pay off city debt from capital projects. Brennan said the borough could try and create other service areas on Mitkoff Island after the borough is formed. He also convinced councilors not to include outlying residents in paying off existing city debt for capital projects. Council members were not happy about leaving outlying residents out of the responsibility of helping pay off city projects, but they did not want that issue to derail the creation of a new borough. Dan Hickman said he thought everyone should be paying for local projects.
You know, we live in an area here where I don't use the swimming pool either, and I'm not going to pay for it. I'm still paying for
it. Sure.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out there that are using the swimming pool and every other facility in the city, and they're saying, well, we're not going to pay for it, even though it's a beautiful pool, and because we built it before they got into the borough, so therefore we're not going to pay for what we're using. Mm-hmm. Why that irritates me, I don't know, but it does.
It irritates me too, but at the same time.
It irritates me to no end. I just can't imagine that the whole borough issue is going to die over that.
Residents outside city limits have opposed paying off existing city project debt without any representation in city government and without the chance to vote on incurring that debt. City Councilor Melinda Hofstad, who also owns a cabin out at Baranoff Warm Springs, said they had to come up with a fair tax level for residents who do not live within city limits.
And I'm really concerned about the people who live outside, you know, outside in the outlying areas. I don't want them to happen to them what happened to us in Baranoff, where we're paying 8 mils for nothing. And I mean nothing. We don't get any services, and that is completely wrong. You know, in Baranoff Warm Springs, we're in the Sitka borough, and we pay the same millage rate as if we lived on Lincoln Street. And I would never support that. That's really unfair, and I feel really strongly to defend that for them. But you know, just trying to look at the middle ground, what's fair for everybody.
The council also made changes to the proposed charter language on who would oversee a borough clerk and the language outlining the process for making changes to future service areas, as well as financial disclosure for borough assembly members and the rules for a borough elected official or employee to contract with the borough. Brennan will be helping city staff produce a final version of the petition and charter documents, and then councilors will be charged with gathering signatures in support of the two documents. In order to submit the petition and charter for state consideration, Petersburg will need approval from at least 151 residents who live inside city limits and at least 18 residents who live outside city limits within the proposed borough boundaries. Brennan told the council he thought the documents could be ready to go within a week. If the city is able to collect the necessary signatures, the petition and charter then go on to the State Department of Community and Regional Affairs. That kicks off a state review process that could take a year or more. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.